Our conference therefore be on the mind of John Paul II on religious life. I feel safe in saying that no Roman pontiff, I don't mean just in modern history, but in all papal history, has said more in greater detail, more unambiguously than Pope John Paul II on what is religious life and how it should be observed. My purpose in the next half hour or so is to synthesize the Holy Father's teaching. And as we have been doing, we will number the aspects as we go along. First, what is a religious vocation? The Pope tells us, strange words, a religious vocation is the fruit of freedom of spirit. It is the fruit of freedom of spirit. Whose freedom? God's freedom and ours. God is free to choose whom he wishes. God chose to make the contents of this glass water. If the water could think and realize it's only H2O and complain, Lord, you're almighty. Why do you stop with making me water? The Lord would answer, stop complaining. You're water, aren't you? You might be nothing, which you were before I made you. God is therefore first of all free, and no one dare question why. He gives some the gift of a religious vocation, and not everyone. So be it. But a religious vocation is also the fruit of the freedom of our spirit. God gives the grace, but we must respond. If we do, it's because we want to. Secondly, the Holy Father says that a religious vocation is derived from a living faith. I like that adjective, living faith. It is a faith that is alive with supernatural charity. A person who receives this vocation and responds not only believes, but wants to act and give himself to God because he believes. Then an unusual but not unexpected statement. The Holy Father says, without religious vocations, the Church would not be fully herself. Or in my language, religious men and women are necessary not for the Church's existence, not for the Church's being, but for her well-being. the church thrives, the religious life is strong. Listen, one of the main reasons for the horrendous crisis through which the church in our country is going is that so many religious have not been faithful to their commitment. This is not a pious platitude, but the verdict of history. As religious life goes, so goes the life of the church. That was the first aspect of religious life that we all too briefly summarized with the present Holy Father. What is a religious vocation? Secondly, the vows. Says the Pope, the vows are a witness to the eternal life given by Christ. As a religious vows him or herself to God, they promise under oath to testify and testify even to a living martyrdom. That's what witness means. The biblical word for witness, when Christ told his disciples, "You will be my witnesses," is martyrs. A good religious is living. Hear it? Living. Hear it? Living. A martyr's life. Witnessing to what? Witnessing to the fact that beyond, far above, the temporal life that we're living here on earth, there is an eternal life given to us by Christ, in which we share, and that we hope to continue living with him into the endless reaches of eternity. How the world desperately needs, this kind of witness, that death is not the end. Dear God, the end. Bodily death is the beginning. The beginning, let's call it, of the real life, for which the present life is only a faint prelude. Oh, but the world has to see us living like, watch this, religious. It is not enough to verify the noun, religious. We better also provide the adjective that religious show themselves detached. Honestly detached from everything which this world calls good and for which wars are fought and empires topple. A religious is to testify to the fact that this life is, as the scriptures tell us, a wisp of smoke, or a passing wave on the sea. Again, the Holy Father tells us, at the vows, faithfully lived, lead infallibly to Christian perfection. We are called by God to become more and more like God. Very well. A religious has only to be faithful to the institute to which they belong. Oh, but the institute itself had better be faithful to that for which to change the word. The institute was instituted so that by their vowed fidelity to the life which they profess to live, securely, serenely, religious, will infallibly become holy. Third insight of the Vicar of Christ on religious life. And he wouldn't be John Paul II, who for years had been living under the communists, a realist, if there was ever a bishop of Rome who had his feet on the ground. It is a present Holy Father. I thought I'd count them. I seem to be ending up with eight. Eight problems that the Holy Father sees are trying religious life to its foundations. First problem, confusion about what is religious life. Everything in life depends on what we think. Any doubt, or as the Pope calls it, confusion, about the essence of a life under the religious vows is bound to cause chaos among those who are trying to live, but they're not quite sure just what they're supposed to be. The identity crisis in religious life is not of God. All the confusion in religious life today was sown, I say it, by the devil. The father of lies and the prince of discord. Second problem. Prayer, says the Pope, has been replaced in so many once consecrated lives by action. Who doubts that religious, if they're to do the work of God, are also to move their muscles? But between moving the muscles and moving the heart and mind toward union with God is all the difference between religious life and secular life. That's problem two. And there is only one reformation for religious life in a country like ours, and that is, in God's name, let religious return to a life of prayer. Third problem. I wouldn't dare say these things. Once I'm quoting the Pope, I get suddenly real brave. says the Holy Father, community life has been abandoned. Holy Father, how truly you are speaking. In one community after another, pardon me, in one former community after another, instead of living together under a superior, there is rampant individualism. That is not religious life. Near the essence of religious life is the sacrifice of so many individual freedoms and privileges. Not because we don't want to be ourselves, but because under God, the voluntary surrender of all those minutiae of individual personal lives, including, for example, as I discovered in my first week in the novitiate, privacy. Whatever the hundredfold published and promised by the Master to those who follow him, part of that hundredfold is not privacy. Fourth problem. Socio-political attitudes have been adopted. What a hybrid substitute for what should be authentic religious life. Socio-political attitudes. Until in one community after another, what's the watchword? Social issues, politics, with religious, in the political arena, where they don't belong. Fifth problem. Oh, how this needs saying. The certainties of faith have been dimmed. Our Catholic faith, lived out as religious should live it, is clear. It better be clear. Otherwise, no ordinary, normal person would become a religious. And religious institutes would be what one cynic described them as being, asylums for psychopaths. Once the faith becomes blurred, the Pope's word dimmed, anything not only can happen, but is happening. Sixth problem. New horizons to get closer to the people. Fine. Opportunities now with our communications age of getting close to the people in a thousand ways impossible, even two generations ago. Religious are indeed to be in touch with the people. But what's happened? That getting closer to the people cannot be moving further away from God. Religious are not to adapt themselves to the world. They are to get the world to adapt itself to the religious principles that religious should witness. Seventh problem. Failures that originate in a crisis of philosophy. The Pope, as you know, had the reputation for being one of the great intellectual giants of Europe long before he was elected to the papacy. You name the errors of philosophy. Rationalism, Marxism, materialism, historicism, agnosticism, in greater or less measure, these philosophers have penetrated religious life. No wonder we've lost 70,000 women religious in America since the end of the Second Vatican Council. No wonder religious vocations, listen, have fallen by 90% in the last 20 years. There is only one philosophy that sustains religious life, and that is not a philosophy, but the revelation of Jesus Christ. Finally, the Pope says, the eighth problem is that the vows have been interpreted with a secular mentality. I never thought I'd live to read the directives of the Holy See to religious institutes throughout the world on how to cope with religious, I am not fabricating on how institutes are to deal with religious who are suing their institutes for back pay. Talk about the vows being interpreted, distorted, perverted by a secular, worse still, a godless mentality. Before we close this conference, I would like to quote three imperatives of the Holy Father of what religious life needs if it is, I don't say thrive, but even survive in a country like our own. First, says the Pope, religious must perfect their charity in the dialogue of prayer with God. Once again, get back to God. It is from Him that vocations to the religious life come, and by Him alone that they can be sustained. Again, second imperative, religious houses must be above all oasis of prayer and meditation. We might add, in a desert where prayer and much prayer is practiced by those who call themselves religious. Finally, says the Pope, today our first concern must be with the truth. How indispensable it is for religious to know the truth, because on Christ's own testimony, only the truth will make religious free. May I suggest that religious, above all those religious who are trying to remain faithful to their vowed commitments, to beg the Master who called so many religious to follow him in vowed chastity, poverty, and obedience, to be faithful to their commitment, so that the Church may once more be sound and secure and attracting those who know what it means to follow Jesus Christ by giving themselves unreservedly to walking in his footsteps. Lord Jesus, the first religious, have mercy on us religious. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.